It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
What a good life it is to be able to say, I've trusted the Lord as my Savior. And you know, it's not only a good life, it's a great life. Well, thank you for joining me again today, and we'll be looking at our subject, a bird's eye view. And we're going through a study of the New Testament, not an in-depth study, but a bird's eye view of each of the New Testament books of the Bible. Well, I'm trusting that you are following along with us as we study the Word of God. Well, today we want to take a bird's eye view of Colossians. We want to look into the book and see some of the highlights. Well, the key verse in this book, I believe, and there are a couple of key verses here, Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, it says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and grounded up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Well, then in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, not on things on the earth." Well, of course, the author of this book, this section of Scripture, Colossians, we know that it's written by the inspiration of God. And Paul the Apostle was used of the Lord to write this down. Paul the Apostle, of course, was the one God used, and also Timothy was probably a scribe. We see this in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 1, where it says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, or Timotheus, or if you want to pronounce it, Timotheus, our brother." Timothy was a helper of Paul the Apostle. Then the date, the writing of the book of Colossians, was probably around AD 62 or 63. And this would be during Paul's imprisonment at Rome. Well, the setting would be in Colossae, a large city with a mongrel, as we think of this, mongrel philosophies of Greeks and Eastern mysticism combined. These were all dangerous to the simplicity of the gospel for the church. Paul writes to counteract the influences that pressed on him now, and let me back up here and say that these teachings of the Greeks and Eastern mysticism were dangerous to the simplicity of the gospel of Christ, and we have that today. In our societies around the world, people trying to make something hard out of receiving Christ as Savior. He died once. He died for those people who would call upon His name, those people who would be willing to turn, to repent, to turn from their sin and receive Jesus Christ as Savior. And let me say this, He not only died for those people who trust Him, He died for the sins of the world. That means that anyone can be saved. He died for every man, woman, boy, and girl in this world so that each person would have an opportunity to trust Him as Savior and go to heaven. Well, I see that the purpose of the book of Colossians is this: Christ is everything. Well, since we are followers of Christ and not followers of pagan gods or ways, we should live like Him with our minds set on the things above. And this is exactly what Paul is trying to get across to the people of Colossae here and in that Colossian church. Well, an outline of the book would go something like this. First, we see in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3 that there was thanksgiving. It says, "We give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." Paul's saying this, and then in verses 9 through 12 it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." So Paul is talking about thanksgiving with prayer in those verses. Well, then we see that God's work in Christ is, first of all, redemption. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and that translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Well, you see, that's how anyone is redeemed. That's how anyone is brought back from the slave market of sin, is through the blood of Christ, and that means forgiveness of sin. Well, then Paul talks about the excellence of Christ in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. He says in verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? See, Christ is excellent. There is excellence in Christ. He is God. Well, then Paul talks about reconciliation in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, through chapter 2 and verse 3. We'll read a couple of those verses in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 through 22 right now. And it says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Verse 22 goes on to say, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Before a person comes to the Lord and receives him as Savior, the Bible says that we are enemies of God. Now that may hurt some of your feelings. It may hurt people's feelings. You may not understand. You may believe that simply because you've been born and raised in a quote-unquote Christian country, a so-called Christian country, that you are a Christian. But the Bible tells us that the only way that we become a Christian is by receiving Christ as our Savior. Well, Paul talks about redemption. He talks about the excellence of Christ, and he talks about reconciliation, and then he talks about false teaching, and he gives warnings. He says, first of all, in Colossians chapter 2 and verses 4 through 7, walk in Christ according to redemption. And because you have been redeemed, you need to walk a certain way. And he's telling us, and you need to live your life, not for man, not for yourself, but for the Lord. And he also goes on to say in chapter 2, verses 8 through 15, that in Christ, believers are complete. Well, let's read a few verses out of this section of Scripture here. In chapter 2, starting with verse 8, he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Well, let me say this, and let me ask this. What do we need? We need Jesus in our lives. We need to be complete in the Lord. And I remind you once again, the only way to be complete is to be redeemed by him through his blood by asking him to come into your heart. And then we become complete. Paul also warns about heresies and controversies in the church in Colossians chapter 2. And we read about this in verses 16 through 23. He talks about the new life in Christ in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. And it goes through chapter 5 and verse 6. Well, he says there in chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, he says, set your minds on the things above. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. He goes on to say that set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. He says, think on those things that are higher than the human philosophies. Set your mind upon the Lord. And he goes on to say that we are to put to death these things that we should not be thinking of. And we see that in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 11. Well, we'll read those verses in that chapter, chapter 3, starting with verse 5. Mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness. And he starts mentioning all those things about being in disobedience. And he says, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemies, filthy communication. He says, stop those things. We're not to act like the barbarians. We're not to act like the unsaved, but we are to realize that we are saved. And because we are saved, we are to exhibit salvation. We are to exhibit that we have been born again. Not to exhibit to be saved, but because we are saved and on our way to heaven. And we keep reading here, and he says, put on these things. He says in verse 12, he says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. And he goes on and mentions all these things. He says in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. He says we are to train and help each other. And as we grow, we help others to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's so much in this book and every book of the Word of God. And there's so much in the book of Colossians. And I pray that you will go back and you will read the entire book of Colossians and understand that Paul is giving these people in Colossae comfort. He's helping these people understand that they have passed from death unto life, and they are on their way to heaven. He says, let no man turn you, not to turn you in the sense of losing your salvation, but turn you to the rudiments of the world. Don't let anyone turn you to the rudiments of the world. You are to live as saved people, and don't let anybody confuse you. Why? Because you are saved. Now, we see applications in this book and lessons, and Colossae was a true picture of the world today. There are false gods and philosophies today. The indulgence in fleshly worship takes place, not only back in Colossae during that time that Paul was writing, but it happens today. Persecutions to those who follow Christ happens today. There are people being persecuted right now, and we don't see so much of it in our country right now as we live in this country, and we're in the United States, those of us who live here, but there's things going on around the world where people are being persecuted for the cause of Christ. Well, we also keep reading and we understand in the book of Colossians, Paul talks about the need for separation, for normal practices. We need to separate ourselves from the things of the world, but not the people of the world. We need to go to the people and let them know that they can be saved and be on their way to heaven, the same as we are. Well, then Paul reminds us, this book is so good. Paul reminds us, and as we see this today, some who remained faithful to Christ, he reminds us of this. There are some who are remaining faithful to the Lord. Some have turned away. Some are not exhibiting Christ, but some remain faithful. And thank God for that. People are telling other people about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know Him today as your Savior? I pray that you do. And if you do know Him as your Savior, are you serving Him? Are you living for Him? Are you thinking upon the things of God today as a saved person? Are you following Him in the Word of God? And I pray that you'll get into the Word of God and trust Him to lead and guide you. Let's pray. Father, I pray now for those who are listening that you would bless them. Save those who are lost and strengthen those who are saved. May you lead each one of us who are saved into the perfect truth, and you are truth, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org, or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.